But thank you already for what's been presented and the work that you are doing in Spain. We are encouraged and excited. Father, we ask that you would anoint Manoli and Trevor with your spirit as they share what's on their hearts, both for the work and for us. We ask that your spirit might find a real openness amongst us and we might be blessed. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
So good to be here. We're really grateful for you, for your, you know, standing with us such a long time. So many years. It's not easy to continue, you know. Sometimes we start, but then it's not easy to go on. So thank you before I say anything. There is a song we sing in our church almost every Sunday. If it's not in the program, someone will stand up and say, can we sing this song? And it's called, There is Victory in Jesus. There is victory in Jesus, you know. He's there to help us. He's stronger than the world. He's stronger than the enemy that comes against us. But there was a time in my life when I didn't believe that as a Christian we could expect victory. I thought, well, it's a struggle, you know, you have to go on, you have to press on. But to have victory, I mean, that's maybe in heaven. Well, in heaven for sure, you know, but not here. And I heard a preacher once years ago, and he said, you know, there is victory in Jesus. We can expect victory. And it was like a discovery, you know. I thought it wasn't possible, but there is victory in Jesus, you know. We can struggle, we can press on. There are problems, there are difficulties, you know, we don't see the answers. But there is going to be victory at the end, you know. And I want to encourage you this morning, I think, if you ask me what is that God has given you for us, and I think that's, to sum it up, there's victory in Jesus, no matter what you're facing, no matter what you're going through. You know, Trevor was talking about the Camino, and we've always encouraged the young people to do the Camino. We thought it's a good experience for them. We were actually quite pioneers on this because it's a Catholic thing, you know, and evangelicals thought, oh, you know, what are you doing? But we thought it was a good experience for young people just to go on this Camino. It was a stretching experience for them, you know, just to be by themselves, maybe with a little team to have to walk on. And we saw, you know, that it was really good for each person. But many times people would say, have you done it? And we said, no, we've done a day. We like, you know, going to the mountains for a hike. But no, we wouldn't do the Camino. But on May this year, we did it. And we spent 8 days on the French Way. And this year was our turn. Was it easy? No. It was painful every day. Going up, it was painful. Coming down, every day, you know, I would have a question. What am I doing here, you know? How can I do it? But, you know, then you get to the hostel, and every evening there will be a nice hot shower, and it just felt so good, you know? And then a bed, you sleep. And when I went to sleep, I thought, how can I go on tomorrow? You know, everything just hurts, you know, especially going down, your muscles on your calf, they were just hurting, and it didn't get better, you know, every day. That pain was there, you know. But every morning, you get up, you put on your clothes, same clothes, and then you put your hat and your backpack, your tennis shoes, you know, your walking pole, you know, and you're ready to go on. And it's you see God helping you, you know, in such an amazing way. I mean, I saw that. But I thought, you know, it's like as a Christian, we when we go into the world, you know, we go into each day, it's like the armor of God. We need to put on that helmet of salvation, you know, the breastplate of righteousness, the belt of truth, the shoes of the gospel of peace, you know, the shield of faith, the sword of the spirit, you know, and then the prayer, you know. And when the battle is over, it says, you are firm, you are standing firm. Well, on the Camino, it rained every day, and there was nothing you can do about it but getting wet, you know. And the clothes I had on were not waterproofed. I thought they were, but they were not waterproof. And so when we got to the hostel, everything is wet. You have to put it to dry for the next day, and so on. And when we got to Santiago, which was our destination, it was raining even heavier. And we got to Santiago really wet, and I had this poncho, and it was dripping water, you know. And we wanted to, from in Santiago, to take a taxi to our hotel because we didn't know where it was, our hostel. And no taxi would want us, you know. We were so wet, and we thought, what do we do? We don't know where this place is, you know, and how do we get there? So we had an idea, and Trevor called a taxi, and so he said, let's take it all off, you know, and just underneath we were a little bit dry, so we got it all in a bundle, and just the taxi took us. And there we got to the pilgrim's office, and I got my, what they call the passport or the credentials, you know, you got the stamps every place of the way. And the fellows looked down and looked at me, and he said, you're missing some dates, you know, because you're supposed to put the date next to the passport of the places where you stop, the hostels, and the coffee bars, everywhere. And then I said, yes. And then he was thinking about it, whether to give me this credential that I had done the Camino, you know. And he said, okay, I'll give it to you this time. Just remember next time, you know, to put those stamps on. And I look at him and I said, you know, there won't be any next time. but then you start seeing how good it's been, you know. The simplicity of it all. You only need a few things to live on every day. Okay, the hardship. But you have very good times of prayer, you know, with God there. Not just God help me to make it or to get there, but, you know, good times of just communion with God. And so we started not so long ago our second Camino, and we already have done 4 days, 4 more days to go. But, you know, I'm sharing this because sometimes we think it's so difficult to make it as Christians, you know, but God is leading us, and he will take us to victory. Even though it doesn't seem like a victory, we look back and we see, wow, look at what God did for me, you know, how I could do it. And, you know, when praying, and, you know, Trevor said we needed a place for the church, and it's so good to be able to trust in God because he is living, he's all powerful, he can do it, you know. So we went back to Spain 2 years ago, and we had been sharing with churches about the need to have our own place as a meeting place because we didn't have anywhere. We were just moving from home to home, and it wasn't working very well. People didn't come, you know. So we knew we need a place, you know, a neutral place where people can come. And so when we got back, I saw this ad in the paper, and it was advertising for, well, in the mailbox, and it was advertising for a bottom floor apartment, and it looked to me very cheap. And, you know, and I showed it to Trevor, and he said, "This is very cheap. It wasn't what we were looking for. We were looking for a bigger place and, you know, more standing on its own, not so much connected to other flats and all that." And so we said, we'll look, you know, and see what it is. Then, you know, we saw how God really provides. And God gave us this place. We had less than $1,000 when we started. We had been praying for over a year. But we knew we had to make the decision and move fast, because we knew this was really a good bargain for us, you know. And we made a decision on a Friday, and we communicated to our partners, we are thinking of this, what do you think? Can you, you know, give us some towards this to get this place? And within 3 days, from Friday to Monday, God provided over $30,000. So we had the money, the 20% we needed for, we got a bank loan, and even the bank loan had to go to three different commissions to be approved, because we wanted it to be in the name of the association, and it was difficult to give it, you know, for the bank to give it to an entity and not to someone, a person. So they approved of the loan, and then, but on Wednesday, when we went to give the money, the deposit, you call it, the down deposit, and we went to see the place again, we knew in our hearts that this was right, but I remember stopping in a petrol station to get petrol to go from Narón to Ribadeo, and I was just so afraid, you know, just like fear just gripped me, and I thought, or the enemy said, "Do you realize what you're getting into? This is, you know, going to depend to be on you, even though you put right, I mean, put it down under the association." And I was just so afraid, you know, and I thought, yeah, this is a big thing, you know. Do we want to get into all this? And then I just heard God saying, you know, those words, "The Lord will fight for you, and you won't have to do a thing." In Exodus 14:14. And it was so real, you know. And I thought, well, I like that. I don't want to do a thing, you know. It's just nice to walk and you see God. And that's what he did, you know. We went ahead, and that's what we saw God. And it didn't bother me anymore. We were in the bank talking to the bank manager and, you know, to the different people. And I thought, this is God's doing, you know. I'm not worried. I'm not concerned. And he did it, you know. And I think it's a very exciting thing to trust the living God with everything in your life, you know, because he wants to do things for us. We are powerless, but he is all-powerful, you know. He is all-knowing. We can trust him. And in our lives, we need to connect with God every day, you know, to know that he's there. Because God calls us to live in this realm, in this spiritual realm. We need to get the strength to face every day. If we live our lives, spiritual lives, in the material, we miss. We don't connect with the living God. We don't get the strength to live every day. And then we feel like we are empty. It's like we're trying to run a car with no petrol, you know. There's no petrol in our tank. So we cannot live our lives on an empty tank. We need God. We just cannot face any day, any situation, anything without him. But with him, life is exciting. There will be pain in the night, but joy comes in the morning. And that joy is such a good thing. It's so good. There is nothing that can give you this joy, this boost, this push, you know. It's not even our faith, you know. It's not even our faith. Our faith takes us to God, to the throne of God. But it is his faithfulness that takes us on and leads us to the victory, to experience victory in our life. I will fight for you, he says, you know. It's a security that never, ever fails us, you know, never changes, and it's ours. The security of the faithfulness of God who takes us to victory. And maybe so with you. We really would like to see the church really, you know, just going on and doing great things for God, because I think God really wants to use you, and we should never be afraid. We just can trust the living God, and he would lead us, you know, and he would lead us to do great things, I believe, in the coming days. Amen.
As you've noticed, we've been talking a lot about El Camino. It really does teach a lot of things. And I'd just like to very briefly just share a few of the things that that I learned. I think both of us learned from doing this this last Camino. Because these are things, lessons for life. They're things that you can apply spiritually. And I think we're learning all the time. And one of the things that really spoke to us, as it did to this, remember Bruce, the 80-year-old, well, almost 80, 78-year-old man who does it, and he suddenly realizes, you know, I can do more. And I think we don't have to get up to 78, you know, to realize that, because many times we get bogged down, even maybe at 20, or even at 30, or at 40. There are many times in our life that we sort of get to a place where we think, well, I've done it, and, you know, I'm too old, I'm too sick, I'm too busy. I can't really do anymore, and I think I've done enough. And even as a church, maybe we could sort of get to that point. Even ourselves, I mean, we've been in Spain working for many years, and we've planted several churches and done this and done that. And you know, we've got our kids here now, and actually there's a grandchild coming along. And we always... You know, it sometimes comes to the point where we think, well, okay, haven't we done enough? You know, we can sort of now just go back and retire. And that's when God always says, you can do more. And I want you to do more. And that's why when we moved into a new church plant, which when you start it, you know, it's going to take, you know, at least 7. It can take maybe 10. It can maybe take 12 years just to get the thing sort of off the ground. You know, why are we doing this? Why do we do the walk? You know, why get ourselves into more compromises and more work? But you know, we with God's help, we can do more. It doesn't matter how old or how busy we are. This couple that I showed, who come from Argentina, and I didn't tell you that they're not young people. We knew them. We were working on the ship together just before we got married. They came to Spain before they got married to help us for a time, and then they went back, got married, and they always wanted to come back. And yet, circumstances, work, problems, children, they couldn't. We've kept in touch, but just now, they've been able to pass the business off to the family. They've been able to get things tidied up, and they've left. And everyone said, "Okay, now you can retire and enjoy life." And they said, "No, we're going to Spain." And so they've left their kids, they've left a comfortable house, they've left their Mercedes-Benz, they've left their swimming pool, they've left everything, and they've come to Spain to help us in the work. And, you know, we can do more. We can do more. This is something that, one of the things that we realized doing the walk, and I just want to encourage you, wherever you are in your walk, your work, your situation, with God's help, don't stagnate. Don't get to a place where you think, well, that's it. Nothing more to do, done that. Now, the other thing, one of the other things that we really learn is that when you do the walk, you soon learn you don't need much. You know, it's very simple. You just need a backpack and a very light backpack with just, you know, one change of clothes, just, very minimal stuff. Because if you take too much, it's going to weigh you down. It's going to hurt you. And you're all the way along the walk, you just sort of see people leaving things, you know, leave clothes, all the way along. You just sort of leave it there for someone else to pick up and be burdened down with it because I realize, you know, we're taking too much. It's becoming a burden. Now, as Christians, the Bible says basically we are also pilgrims. And we're passing through. But many times, and it's not that we're doing the walk. I mean, we're here on a purpose. I mean, God's got a mission for us. And many times I feel that we weigh ourselves down, we carry too much, we accumulate too much, we get too much in our lives, and it hinders us from doing what God really wants us to do. Hinders us from doing more with the help of God. And so I would just encourage you to really before God, just consider what is really needed in your life. Now, it's different for everyone, but what is needed, the basic essentials, to be able to do what God wants you to do or what he's calling you to do. Because sometimes we don't do more because we're just too burdened down or too tied up. Actually, Jesus says, I'm going to read this verse. I'm not reading a lot of verses because I haven't got the time. But we all know them, but I'm going to read this one where Jesus, you know, he just reminds us again in Matthew 6 that we don't really need to worry about, like when you're doing the walk, you just worry about getting to the Alberg, and then, you know, you have a good rest, and then tomorrow's a new day. And Jesus says, well, why do you worry about clothes? And don't you see the flowers in the field, how they grow, they do not labor or spin? And then he goes on to say, and you look at Solomon, but look at how I dress the flowers. And he says in verse 31, so do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear, or what shall we drive in, or what shall we live in, or what shall we secure ourselves with, or what insurances, or what, or what, or what. Don't worry about that. For the pagans, those who don't know God personally, run after all these things, but your heavenly Father knows that you need them, and we do need things, but God knows it. Our what we really need to be focused on, you know, just getting to that albergue, doing the mission God has called us to do, is to put first his kingdom and his righteousness, and then all these things will be given to you as well. God will come through. He knows what we need as long as we're putting him first. And I just want to encourage you in that. The other thing, just very briefly, just to share, is that, you know, on the Camino, you realize that little things are very important. You realize how important your muscles are. You realize how important just a little bit of food, you know, just some bacon and eggs, you know, to give you a bit more stamina, or a Coca-Cola or something, just to get you a bit more energy, just little things, a beautiful countryside that you're walking past and enjoying. But there are little things that people do for you, and that we encourage those who do the walk to do to others. And as we go through life, I would encourage you just to, you know, sometimes think, I want to do big things for God. But, you know, it's the little things that God is going to use to become big things to other people. And actually, Jesus says that people will know that we're his disciples by the way we love one another. And that's seen many times in little things. We actually came to a coffee place one of the day on the walk, raining, we're cold, tired, wanted to sit down and have a rest. All the tables were taken up inside, and there was a few tables outside, and the only dry ones were two. One was taken up by two elderly men, and one empty one was all full of dirty cups and saucers, but, you know, we're going to sit down there. We sat down, just pushed the saucers, cups aside a little bit, and we're just happy to sit down. Now, these two fellows here, these old men, they were Japanese, by the way. I'd like to say they were Christians, but they weren't, because what they did is what we should be doing. They, you know, one of them gets up, he just looks at us, and then he comes over, he doesn't say anything. And he starts clearing our table, taking one by one all the dirty cups and all the saucers. He just took all the put it on the table outside in the rain, cleaned our table, made us comfortable, and then went back and sat down. You know how much we appreciated that? That gesture, someone sort of thinking of it. Now, we can do that all the time. Big a word, encouragement, it could be a prayer for someone, it could be a listening ear, it could be a service, it could be so many things, the little things are important, and God can use as we go through life, putting God first, asking God to give us opportunities to serve him. Don't think that's too small not to be used of God. And the last thing I'd just like to share is that another thing we've learned, and this is one of the main reasons why we put people, young people, on the Camino, is that, you know, everyone who does the Camino is searching. Some do it for religious reasons. Some do it because they think that if they do this walk, actually, if you do the whole French way, you're walking about 25 to 35 kilometers a day for a whole month. And people, you know, many think if they do that, or if they do a minimum of 100 kilometers, then somehow they can pray or ask something of James's bones, and he will intercede to God, and God will give them some sort of answer. They're doing it for that. Others are just doing it because they want the experience, or they're lost, and but everyone is seeking. This is one thing we've come to see. Everyone who does the Camino, whether for religious reasons or whether just for whatever, they're seekers. And as we work with young people, as we move into areas to do church planning where, very close Catholic culture, and we will still be seen with a lot of suspect, this is a sect, this is something to be kept away from, it's hard. And it's very easy, and you think of young people, young people are not interested, they don't want to go to church, they're not interested in God. People are not really interested in God anymore. But that's not true. And I would just like to encourage you that really, whatever the culture, the society, the age, or the situation, I really believe that all of us, God has made us that way, we're all seeking. Everyone is seeking. They might not say it, they might put up a front, they might have all their excuses, but they're seekers. And we need to be we need to not be afraid. And we need to be very intentional, and this is one of the reasons why we've always worked with coffee houses and with drug addicts and with young people and now on the Camino and with social work, because we need to put ourselves into on the Camino. We need to look where can we get in contact with seekers? Where can we have the opportunity? Because people are not just going to come to church. We're in the world. And we can make opportunities, we can create situations with God's help to be in contact with people, because everyone really is seeking, and we have what they're looking for. We have the gospel. We have the good news. We know the way, not just a way, the way. And so I just like to encourage you to encourage you first to come to Spain, come to visit us. Some of you want to do the walk, you're really going to love it. Come and help us. But just remember, as Manoli says, wherever we are, whatever we're doing, we have the victory in Jesus. We've got an exciting life ahead of us. Jesus has got a purpose and a mission for each one of us, and we can do more, much more with Jesus than what we think we can do. We need to keep light. We need to evaluate what we do, what we got, what we're committing ourselves to, whether that's going to help us in completing that mission or just be a burden. We need to be aware of always the little things that God is going to use as we are light, we are salt, as we do serve and we do love others in Jesus' name. God is going to use that to reach others, because everyone, and don't forget that, everyone is seeking, and we got the answer, and we need to get out there. I'd like to just close with a word of prayer. Father, I just want to thank you for, I was just remembering this morning just the way that I came here over 40 years ago seeking, and you just used people from this church to reach me. And just the way you've just over all these years just been so faithful, and just for just what you've been doing in so many people in this church, and just keeping this witness going and growing, just being a blessing. And I just pray, Lord, that you would just continue to bless this church as they continue to move on. Help them. Help us all, Lord, to see that we can't do much, but with you we can do a lot, so much more. And forgive us, Lord, for so many times just letting discouragement or lack of faith or problems or worries or whatever just to burden us down when you've got so much more for us. I just pray, Lord, that you will just continue to bless this church and that it will continue to be a blessing to others, and that you would, Lord, just lead us on and put us in contact with the people who are seeking. And we again just want to thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.